Oh,
hey everybody!
Hey.
Yeah! Hey! Okay, welcome back to the Sex Talk. I am so excited to be here, and you guys are probably like, who is this? This is my dear friend. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Quincy.
And what's your pronouns, friend?
He, him, his.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And Quincy and I, we've known each other for years now, and we've had tons of different conversations, and these last few days, we've just been having a lot of different talks, and I'm like, yo, you gotta come join me in the sex talk.
Facts.
Yes.
And I mean, the conversations are always so juicy.
Oh my God, and I learned so much from you, so much.
Likewise, honestly.
I appreciate you so much.
Thanks for having me here.
Of course, yeah. And so today we're going to be talking about genitalia. Yes, guys, I went ahead and, well, shout out to Quincy for the Amazon Prime, because I did not have Amazon Prime, and I was like, yo, Quincy, can you order something for me?
We do what we gotta do.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah, right.
And so, just a little context, I know that it's so important to talk about our bodies, not only what we do with them, but what's underneath our clothes. I know for me, personally, like I said in our last conversation, because of over-spiritualization and not addressing things fully, and I grew up Christian, all that. I believe my genitalia was heavily neglected. And just on the basics, you know, like, it because of not spiritual trauma, but that's the thing too. But because of the women in my life, their own trauma and how that's passed down and how we just don't talk about certain things. And so, you know, there's things I'm still learning about my body and my vagina. So, yeah.
Myself as well. I think even going back to the point of how we're raised, we were told as younger boys that we're not even supposed to touch down there.
Exactly.
We're not supposed to play with it or even just like look and see what's going on down there. Because if you were caught playing with it, you know, it's another story.
That's a whole nother story.
But I think that speaks a lot to the ignorance for myself and what's going on. Like even looking at these charts, and I'm like, the epididymis, the testis,
you
the
know?
What?
Yes.
So I think it's really interesting because we should know, and there's some things that we're going to talk about that I'm just like, wow, did not know that.
Literally, and I'm not, like, just quick context and preface, we are not professional sex educators. We're learning and growing together, and so I feel the same. Like, there's so many things, there's literally, and I'm going to zoom in a little bit so you guys can see everything, but there's so many different titles and names and situations that I didn't even know about my body, you know, like my genitalia, reproductive system, all that. And so in preparation for this conversation, Quincy and I, we can talk about this stuff for like hours, days,
yes.
You know? And so what Quincy and I did, by the way, my pronouns are she, her. I know I didn't mention that. I just assume you guys know by now. But we picked our top five facts we want to discuss about our genitalia. And we're gonna go with that, and so we're just gonna vibe out.
Yes,
you know,
let's just vibe out. And then also, like, as Sunny and Shanice was saying, we're not professional, so there's a lot that I'm like still like, oh wow, did not know that.
Wow,
did not know that. Like,
totally,
it's really nice to know, but yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, totally. And so one thing I do want to put out there is that, like I said, I invited Quincy to come talk with me because I do not have this organ, right? And so I don't feel equipped enough to talk about this organ, but I definitely want to learn about this organ. You know, if there's ever a situation where I need to, you know, distribute some facts about this organ.
Maybe you need to tell the guy you need to clean under a little bit better.
Yeah.
I've been taking care of your penis that is not circumcised.
Yeah.
I don't, my penis is circumcised. I'm going to disclose that and go over the bridge there. But I didn't know that, you know, for guys who have uncircumcised penis, you got to pull that skin back to make sure you clean out.
And so maintain, yes. And it's such a natural thing. It's such a natural and normal thing. And I think what these conversations will do is really I hope that it destigmatizes a lot about the penis, the vagina, and the spectrum of genitalia, because this is just the binary, you know, like this is just the most traditional and normal genitalia, when in reality there's a few different organs in between these two. It's not just vagina, it's not just penis, and I've been learning that, and I want to be sure to be all inclusive as I possibly can. And so in the future, if I come across someone who is maybe transitioning or does have genitalia that sits in the middle of the spectrum, to come and have that conversation with me, because I want to learn too.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. And so how do we include that? I know they're trying to strip sex education out of school, which is increasing harm.
Precious.
You know. But if they do keep sex ed in schools, I want people who don't have a penis or vagina or is transitioning to feel seen.
Yeah.
And represented. Like, how do I take care of myself, you know? So yeah, we're learning as we grow. And yeah. Shout out to our friends who are popping in. What were you gonna say?
I was just saying, I think a lot of this, this is interesting with Sagittal view right here, just because even for a guy, you don't see really any of this. None of it. Unless you look at a chart like this. But all of those organs are there, the testis, the epididymis,
so
the ductus. I don't even know how to pronounce that, but it's there.
Deference?
Deference.
Yeah, I've never heard
ductus of this deference.
Never heard anything of these. And same
it's
over
probably
here.
Like the vas deference. Or maybe it's the same thing, because I don't even see the vas on there. So it's a learning aspect.
Right. I want to ask whoever's watching this video, if you're watching currently or you're watching during playback, have you ever taken a mirror and looked at your genitalia? Do you know what your genitals look like? Do you know what's in between your legs? If you haven't, have you ever heard of that? And if you have, how did that work for you? Did it help you feel better? Did it, you know, like this part right here, and like I said, I'm going to zoom in, but it's the vagina as if someone was laying on their back with their legs open. And the first time I heard of, there's this woman, I don't have her name, but I could post it later if people are interested. But there's this short documentary about, I want to say she's an orgasm doula. And she was just walking women through, she was teaching women how to please themselves. Mm-hmm. And she was walking women through how to achieve orgasm if they hadn't achieved orgasm in heterosexual intercourse. Or at all, or masturbation. And so she was saying, first and foremost, do you know what your vagina looks like? And that hit me. I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, at that time, I was like, no, not really. I've never really looked at it.
Hey, am I supposed
to? Right, only from what I could see from, like, when I looked down.
Yeah.
You know, and which is alarming to an extent, because it's like, I have periods, and I use tampons and pads. And so it's like, I don't even know what my vagina looks like when it's that time, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
But what do you think about that?
I think, well, first off, I've never really looked at my penis or my scrotum. I guess I look at it when I pee or when I have sex, but I've never taken the time to look around and really care about, or actually, let me step back. When I first started to get hair, I feel like I looked at it then.
Mm-hmm. Same.
But probably not enough to really remember what that felt like or what I was really doing in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I never have taken a mirror to look at anything.
Yeah.
I've never really thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just, you know, did my due diligence to keep it as clean as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing bad coming out and going in. But at the same time, there's a lot that I don't know. Looking at this chart of the organs inside, and I'm kind of just blown because I'm like, wow, what does that do?
Literally.
Like, even learning about the testis, and that's where the sperm is created.
Mm-hmm.
I never really thought about where the sperm was created in a male's reproductive system, but now I'm just like, oh wow, so it's created there in the scrotum, and it just shoots up somehow, but yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point too, and like, you know, wait, you said the testis,
yeah,
this was
this white thing, right?
And
here.
To think that, like, during heterosexual sex, or like when you're having sex, when a person with a penis is having sex with a person with a vagina, cisgender people, you know, like the sperm comes from here and comes through here and then goes through the woman's vagina into it. That's a lot of traveling, because you got to get through the uterus to the ovaries.
Yeah.
And the ovaries are here. So if you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like we should know where these fluids are going when we're exchanging them with people.
And it has to be shot up because from the epididymis, it gets shot because it stays in the epididymis. I'm gonna butcher that word.
Take your time.
Epididymis. Yes, we're just gonna go with that.
Yeah.
No, but that's where it gets that mitochondria, because it needs that energy to continue to shoot up. And I think that's a good point, that it has to travel really far, because that's probably where it gets a lot of that, so that it has that energy to continue on through that journey. It's interesting.
Wow. Yeah, that just made me think.
Because that's a long journey, but even from here, coming up and around to get out, and then back up and in, and yeah.
Right.
It's great.
It is making me think of gravity to an extent, because it's like, you know how those couples are like, we're trying so hard to get pregnant, but we can't get pregnant.
Oh,
could it be
yeah.
that you're, like, when you shoot out, like, it's not enough, what did you...
Mitochondria.
Yeah. Like, there's not enough, like, boom, like, to get it going. Because that is far away from here. What? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it is, but, wow, that, I never thought about
me
that.
Me either. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so I think... So what I want to add to this conversation is, if you haven't looked at your genitalia, take a mirror, put it on the floor, stand over it, and look at your genitalia, because it's yours. This is your genitalia, and you should know what it looks like, and you should know how it works, you know? And if this is of any inspiration, please get in touch with your body, because I truly believe being aware of these things really reduces harm. And it makes me think, since we're talking about sex, I think, when we were discussing it the first time off camera, I was thinking about how many times have I engaged in a sexual act and then went and just disassociated, you know, like, or wasn't present.
Yeah.
Because it's like, for whatever reason, you know, like me personally, like, I'm still practicing celibacy. But however, that's one thing I want to be mindful of when I do engage in a sexual act. What's happening right now? And if I do disassociate, or if I do... like zone out, to slow down and say, hey, what's going on? Yeah. And now I have a visual, like, you know, in the past, self-disclosure, like, but in the past, like, if I was having sex with a cisgender man and, you know, he inserted his penis in my vagina, I always wonder, like, what is he hitting? Like, because that, you know, if I'm not comfortable, I'm like, I gotta relax my muscles.
Is it just...
You know, like, where is it going? You should know these things.
Oh, yeah.
Even people who practice anal sex.
Yeah. What are you hitting?
What's in there? What do I need to relax? Seriously. How do I need to relax so that this can be a joyful experience for the both of us, which it should be. You know what I'm saying?
I think to that point, something that... Why it's important to really know this, even if something's going on in our bodies and we're like, oh, that's weird, it's happening inside. I wonder what organ that is, or why that feeling is there.
Yeah.
Is that a bad feeling? Is it a good feeling? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, is my body trying to tell me something?
Yeah.
I think that when I was younger, I've had that experience, and I'm like, I've even, like, okay, I'm gonna make myself a little more vulnerable, but if you know me, you know I do this all the time, whatever. When I was younger, there was a time where I had an incident where I thought, like, I got some crazy STD or something, but I wasn't sexually active.
No.
At the time.
Yeah.
I was just really confused. And my penis had swollen up, and it was an allergic reaction, just, you know. But I didn't know what was going on, because right away, it didn't swell up. It was just, like, these weird... these weird shots of energy, if you will. And I was just like, whoa, that's weird. Like, what's going on? And it was, long story short, it was a lotion that I was using at the time. It was not a hypoallergenic lotion.
Yeah.
You shouldn't put a scented lotion there. Not even if you think it smells great.
Yeah.
And so I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
You had to go to the ER and figure that out. But
yeah.
In those moments of leading up to that, there was a lot going on there. And I was just like, what? I've never experienced this before. What's going on? really what organs is being impacted or affected
by
that.
Yeah.
Like, and so, like, looking at this chart, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of holy hell going on in there.
Right.
I was just probably off the charts.
Yeah.
It's so important to know your body, because then you can really address that.
Absolutely. And it's funny, while you were talking about that, it made me think of this meme that I saw where, I can't remember who it was, but somebody said that, it was like this celebrity that said they put like this x-ray, they had to go to the doctor because they broke the bone in their penis. And I was like, it's funny because I just saw that a few weeks ago, and I was taken back a little bit, like, is this a joke, or is there a bone in the penis? Like, are there bones in there? It was just a thought, just for a second. I mean, I don't know. I don't have one.
Almost makes, you know.
Yeah, I don't. Clearly, this is muscles. These are muscles.
Yeah, a bone.
A bone. That's what they said. I don't know if it was a joke, but somebody said, I had to go to the doctor because
they
want
to have one of those hold stills.
They broke a bone.
Never moved.
Just
I guess these bones bend, but not bent. Well,
but it's like a different.
They're jointy.
Yeah. Anyway.
Bring it back.
Yeah, I know now. And if you didn't know that there wasn't bones in penises, this is proof. There's not a bone in your penis. All people with penises, there's no bones. Even people without penises, if you thought there. Anyway. This is more for me. Okay. Something that I wanted to share about the vagina is why periods, right? And I actually, not gonna lie, I just learned this last year. Shout out to my friend. You know what? I didn't get permission to disclose any of that information, so I'm gonna keep it to myself. But shout out to my friend. You know who you are. We had a great conversation about periods and ovaries. And so basically what I learned, this is the ovary section right here. And so basically what I learned is our ovaries are developing over time, that 28-day period. And then to reproduce and become pregnant and things like that. And so when we don't, when a sperm doesn't meet the egg, our ovaries shut down, and basically it flushes out the eggs because they hadn't been used. And so the eggs come out and the eggs come out as blood, but really our bodies are pushing out those eggs from our ovaries. And so that's why, you know, we might experience cramps, we might bleed from our vagina and this, you know, and those things like that. And then also talking to my friend, they had explained to me how far a tampon is actually supposed to go in our vagina. Like I said, when I talked about having sex with a cisgender man, I'm thinking about, like, you know, like there has been a self-disclosure. Like, there's been a time where it's like, this is like, there's pressure, you know, like, I feel like there's pressure because there's like an ending to the back of my vagina, but I don't know exactly like how to articulate that, right? You know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, I'm like, what comes after that? Like, what's behind that part where the penis is? Anyway, but what my friend explained was that I had asked her, like, why do tampons flare up on the commercial, you know? And I was like, I felt comfortable enough to ask her this because I'm like, they're just in those commercials, like, they're just so excited, like, it's 360 protected and do this and do that. I'm like, I don't care, just stop that. Just stop when there's blood coming out of my body, stop it. I don't care about none of that other shit. And I was like, why do they flare up? And basically my friend explained that when you push your tampon in, it's supposed to go back into this area that has more space into it, and that's where it flares up for that 360 protection, and it soaks up that.
Make sure you get all the way up to that end.
You gotta push it back in there so it can actually do what it's supposed to do, and that's why it has the string to it. And then when you're done with this tampon, you pull the string out and then you discard it and everything like that. And I just thought that was so interesting because I'm like, what's the point of the 360 protection? Clearly there was a disconnect. I did not have that information. And so from why the periods to my body, our bodies cleansing themselves to like the maintenance of periods and understanding why it's important to push your tampons back far enough so that you can get that 360 protection. Period. You're funny.
I know. I was like, I don't know. I'm here. Guess that one.
Yeah, I did multiple times, but that time it just hit different. But yeah, did you know those things about periods, Quincy?
I didn't even know this part about the tampon thing was interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because you know, a lot of my friends, I had roommates, classmates, or whatever, they would have their tampons. Sometimes I just look at it as it's sitting on the stand, and I just be like, how does that thing work? Like, what do they do?
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, hearing about this, especially that 360, that was kind of funny.
360 protection.
That's like, hearing about it, it's just like, okay. And so, like, but it sucks in all the blood, so it's just so, it's interesting. I don't know how to explain, like,
typically
the process, what's going on in my mind. Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, wow. I did not know any of that, actually, especially what the penis is hidden once it's entered in.
Yeah, yep.
That is really interesting.
And I'm actually interested to know the average length of, being that this is the sex talk, like, I'm interested to know the length of, you know, like,
how far a penis can go.
Yeah, like, what is the average, are these centimeters, inches? Like what?
When it doesn't get up into the uterus?
Yeah, like,
that
makes me...
That is interesting. I don't think I thought about that.
Because everybody... And then look
different
at...
Different sizes.
Look at... Exactly. Different sizes. And look at like, how mainstream media talks about genitalia. Like, I only want... In music. Like, I only want it if it's this large. Mm-hmm. Or I only want it if it's this tight. You know? And it's like, well, is that...
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is it going to be satisfactory?
Because there could be some stuff going on that you know what I'm saying? Like,
then also I think about the different sex toy options that people have and how some people have really large penises for sex toys.
Damn, that's really making me think. Like, where does
where
it,
does it go?
Where does it go? Yeah. Even in pornography.
Maybe we can address that the next one.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
That is interesting.
That's
so we're going to have to...
A lot to think about.
Write that down. Nothing, I didn't write anything down
either.
There.
Yeah.
Just a gesture. Well, something that I thought was interesting was the sperm, because while I knew that, you know, we had sperm, I just didn't really understand the creation and, like, the journey it took. But then also, sperm, we'll zoom in on this later on, but it has a head, has a neck, has a mid-piece, and then it produces this long tail and the here we go again. Epididymis. I'm gonna screw it up again, but we're gonna go with that. No,
epididymis.
It has this long tail, so I think that's interesting because to me, even looking at it in its bigger form, just feels like a fish.
Yeah.
It doesn't really, I don't know how to explain it other than that, really. Mm-hmm. It feels like I'm looking at a fish that's just in a bowl of water and swimming around, trying to figure out how I can get to the bigger bowl of water or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And so, and thinking about that and seeing that and knowing that the sperm is...
Oh, whatever.
The sperm is created in the testis, sorry. In the testis, and then it goes into the epididymis, and in the epididymis is where it kind of, like, waits and it gets all the mitochondria, and that's that energy that really, that's going to help it shoot through the ductus deferens, and that starts its journey in getting into the vagina.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just so interesting because, as we were addressing earlier, it's going to take a lot of energy for it to shoot through those tubes and all the way out, but also and back up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, even thinking about the folks who, because I wonder what the science is behind the folks who can't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because it's not shooting all the way up and making it all the way through?
Mm-hmm.
And that journey is not fully there? But I just thought it was really interesting learning about
And if I'm not mistaken, I've actually heard of people's like physical health and what they eat really, really impacting their sperms. Their sperm's performance. I was trying to say it all at once.
Okay.
broke the third wall, sorry. Yeah, that's really good. The last two things I want to touch on too is like the uterus. So this is the uterus right here. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. I don't have any children. And back when I had sex ed back in high school, we only talked about STDs and STIs, and they were demonized. They were like, back when I was in high school, they were trying to demonize sexual activity to scare us not to have sex, instead of having a real conversation about genitalia, sex, and all these things. STDs and STIs are a whole nother conversation that I want to have another talk about, because it's a natural thing. It happens often. And I don't think that people should be
afraid
to talk about it, afraid to get them. If that happens, there's a possibility that you could get something that's curable, uncurable. People can be born with certain things. And so I just want to play my role in destigmatizing those things. Anyway, I digress. I just recently learned that babies grow in the uterus. I did not know that. And we, Quincy and I were Googling some stuff, and we were talking about some stuff, and we saw a picture of something similar to this, but also we saw a picture where the baby grows in the uterus, and that blew my mind too, because I'm like, and how the placenta grows and all that, and how it protects the baby and all these different things. It's so
in the uterus.
Yeah, in the uterus.
I know, that's what threw me. I was like, oh wow, okay.
All that happens in the uterus, and here I am thinking that babies are in the stomach.
Same.
Literally.
Same. I honestly, yeah, yeah.
And so that blew my mind. And as a, being a cisgender woman and going through so many different things with my body, and just to know that my mom's body had to go through that to birth me. Mm-hmm. And I was a knucklehead.
Some people go through that 14 times. Like my grandma, she has 14 kids.
I can't imagine. So. Your uterus is expanding to have this baby, carrying this baby. Oh my goodness. And then the baby comes out of your vagina. Or through your stomach if you have a C-section, but...
Yeah, and...
And that's not a lot of space. That's what I was gonna say. I can read your mind.
I was literally about to say, that's not much space.
That's not a lot of space. So our bodies literally have to relax, open up, and get ready for a head to come through our vagina.
Oh, man. Sorry, Mom. My head's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean,
oh, I was a C-section, so.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Yeah, she had two before me, though. She was like, no.
Honestly, just like, I guess I'm kind of taken aback by the way the body works.
Yeah.
Right? Because even growing up, we talked, especially when we're talking about sex, I think there was a huge stigma growing up about like, oh, if you've had sex too many times, da da da. But like, it's really nice to know, or interesting, excuse me, to see like, even when you have a woman has a baby, and how her stomach kind of just goes back to the size it was.
Yeah.
And all the organs just kind of come back. Our bodies are amazing. Like,
literally.
The woman's body, wow. Like, mm-hmm.
You know what?
I'm just blown.
Crazy.
It's crazy because a baby goes through here.
Literally expands this whole part, and that fills up the belly, and then comes out this part if you choose to have a natural birth.
It's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing.
It is beautiful. Absolutely.
But I'm still curious about the placenta. Does it just grow inside there? Does it just form?
I think it grows. I think it grows because it's not pictured here. It's not pictured here. And I think that that's what it said on the article we were reading the other day. That the placenta, it covers, I forgot which side.
Shanice is better at locating the information in the articles than I am.
Well, I mean, we were focusing on, like, it's, I mean, just to be honest, like, you know, I relate to this. You
That's true.
You don't have, a uterus. So,
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So it's okay. And that's why we're, and the cool thing about it, I want to double back to tampons and certain material needed to have a successful period. I think it is important for not only, you know, women or cisgender women or men or parents, whether, however you identify, I think it's important to have those conversations about those things, because I didn't necessarily have the tampon conversation. In the beginning, I had to do a lot of guessing. You know, I was just it was like, oh, you're on your period here, yeah. You know? And so, yeah. So it's just like having that, that information, having correct information about how to take care of your body when it's going through these processes, you know?
And not being afraid to find different ways to really articulate that information. I think a lot of things that really hindered me and gaining the knowledge is constantly being told as we're growing up, don't look at this. This is not good information. You mm-hmm. shouldn't even be playing with yourself in this manner. You mm-hmm. don't even worry about what's down there on your body, right? Even as you grow, it hinders you. It hinders you in having conversations when there's something going on with your body. How do I articulate this to my doctor? Because I've never been in this before. I've never thought this way before.
Yes.
Or had this conversation with myself about my body. But yeah. It's your body. So, like, finding ways to really articulate that, like, with your kids, with your nieces, nephews, family
yes.
members, friends. Because it's important to be non-ignorant or lose our ignorance when it comes to our body. In situations like this, like, to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But also, in my opinion, to have a healthier relationship with your significant other.
Yes.
Like, if you don't really understand your body, how can
mm-hmm.
you know, you work together to
absolutely
do what you need to do?
Yep. And last but not least, I just thought about this, and I'll probably, because we've reached our time, so we're gonna wrap up, but I'll probably post a separate video literally like going through each one with the video. I'm not gonna walk through and explain each one because I'm still learning myself. But while we're sitting here looking at these charts, I'm looking at the anus. And, you know, like when we pass our bowels, I've always wondered why it's shaped like this.
Mm.
And it's probably shaped like this because it sits there for a while before it comes out.
Oh.
Ain't that crazy? Have you ever looked at your bowels? Your bowel movements?
No.
Oh, you should, that's another thing. Look at your bowel movements. You need to know if it's silky, if it's runny,
when I'm sick, I look, or if I'm not feeling it, but you're right.
You should, and if it floats, if it sinks,
oh,
there's a difference.
Yeah, but
when you're not having, you might not have enough iron.
Ooh.
You might be, you know, like there's a lot of
I didn't know that.
Welcome to the sex talk.
Welcome.
I never really thought of it because I always wonder, like, why does my bowel movement come out this way? But it probably sits there because there's a point where you're like, you feel something in your lower anus area, like your bottom. You feel a sensation like, oh, I have to do a number two.
Yeah.
It's got a mold. It's molding,
so it's
in there.
That's so
it's getting molded from our anus, and if it looks like that, that's probably why it comes out circular. And then if you're sick too, because I saw a different chart that showed a little bit of the intestines and how it wraps around the ovaries here. And so when we eat, our food will pass through our throat and go to our stomach and make its way into the digestive system.
Mm.
And that's when it's transforming. And so that's a whole nother conversation. But
this is the bladder, right?
Yeah, that's the bladder.
And this is the bladder for a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that now look bigger?
Yeah, it does look bigger. Yeah, I wonder why that is.
Yeah.
Why are you guys' bladders so big?
Well, in that moment, I'm just thinking about how guys can always like, oh, I can hold it. You know, it's fine. I don't know why, but that just came to my head.
Yeah,
like,
that's interesting.
Because at first I was looking, I was like, maybe there's some other part of here, but no, that's the bladder. And over here, this is the bladder too.
Yeah.
And then the wall around it. But the bladder is really small.
Small, yeah, on the cisgender woman's side.
Yeah.
You see this? It looks like a heart though. What's that?
That's the opening of the ureter.
Ureter? I don't know. Anywho, that that concludes our time. Thank you so much for stopping by. If you're watching this on playback, thank you for watching. Please comment and add your comments. Add if you learned anything, please let us know. If there's anything you want to talk about and touch on, I will have these forever now. Thank you to my friend who ordered them through sorry, do I have consent to touch your shoulder?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I've touched you multiple times, didn't ask your consent. Sorry.
But usually does ask for consent every single time.
I do. I do.
No, Shaniz is really good about asking for consent. It's just funny when she does because she's always like,
Oh my goodness, I touched you. Because people just...
It's great. No, it's great. Yeah, I love it.
But my friend Quincy ordered these expedited so we can have a visual for you guys, or you people, my pals. So... thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to donate to the Sex Talk, please do so. You can Cash App or Venmo me at Legend, LEGEND 143. And it's greatly appreciated. Y'all take care of yourselves, okay? Bye-bye.